Our first public hearing this evening is conditional use number 1965, Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for botanic gardens and related visitor center, conservatory, theater, nature center, and parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 36.99 acres, more or less, lying south of Pontypneck Road, being Road 336 and 5/10 of a mile west of Bunting Road, being Road 335, and being identified as tax map ID 233, map 6, parcel 116.10. Gentlemen, you previously had received a copy of the exhibit booklet and a survey site plan for this project. Staff did receive on April 24, 2013, a DLDOT support facilities report, which references that a traffic impact study is not recommended. The current level of service A of Piney Neck Road will not change as a result of this application. Also on July 9, 2013, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided a memorandum which references that the site is located in the Dagsborough-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available to serve the project, that Ordinance 38 construction will be required, that the location and size of laterals and or connection points will have to be determined, that connection to the sewer system is mandatory, that the site resides within a recent expansion area, and while a sanitary sewer connection point is not currently extended to the parcel, the county is currently working with a developer of a project located east of the site that will construct a regional pumping station in Force Main that is scheduled to be completed in the next 12 months. That an opportunity exists for the applicants to make use of this infrastructure, although there may be some cost associated with said use. The County Engineering Department will assist with coordinating this effort, and that a concept plan is required. I also announced I received through the computers and the internet 16 emails in support of this application. They're all fairly short one-liners in some cases, but they all reference support, and no letters or interest shown in opposition. And that's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Davidson.
Sir.
Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm with Pannoni Associates, located in Milton, Delaware. I am the principal land planner and consultant for this project. With me tonight is Carlton Savage. He is a professional engineer with Pannoni Associates. And our qualifications are in the booklet for the record. I would like to make one correction on the booklet on the table of contents where we have signatures of approval. It's actually the signatures of supporters that we had placed in the, that's in the book. And I'd also like to submit, we were able to obtain 53 additional supporters, if I may. Brings the total supporters that for signatures with what I just submitted to Mr. Lank and what's in the booklet to 181 support. We are here tonight to represent on behalf of the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens an application for a public garden in Southern Delaware. Here with us tonight is Mr. Zajic. He's to my right, your left. He's the president of the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens. Also with us are other board members and supporters for this public garden project. And submitted for the record are some bios of the board of directors for the Botanic Gardens. Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and is incorporated as a nonprofit in the state of Delaware. Their mission is to create an inspirational, educational, and sustainable public gardens in Southern Delaware for the benefit and enjoyment of the public. They desire to create Delaware's first flagship botanic garden. Tonight we are here to present an application to Sussex County to grant a conditional use of the land in an AR1 agricultural residential district. and it's also within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone for the public botanic gardens and all their related uses. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask Mr. Zajic to come up, and he's going to review the layout that the of the gardens as we have submitted on the conditional use site plans and as shown on the color renderings before you. The property is located in the Dagsboro 100 of Sussex County and is located on the south side of Piney Neck Road, approximately 1 mile east of the town of Dagsboro, containing approximately 36.99 acres of land. The property was deeded to the Sussex County Land Trust, known as the Cannon Track, by Sussex County back on May 9, 2006. And under the applications, there is the deed that, there is the deed of transfer from Sussex County to the Sussex County Land Trust. If you, in the map section in the booklet, I do have a 2012 orthophoto. And the site is presently used as open space containing open agricultural lands and I believe currently planted in soybeans. It has some, towards the south of the property, it has some wooded area on site. And within that wooded area, there are some upland and some wetlands within that, and it also borders along Pepper's Creek.
Mr. Davidson, this one, just if I could, just for a second. Anyone who is here with an interest in this application, these exhibits are very hard for you to see from where you're sitting. Feel free to get up and come walk right up to the either easel and make whatever examination you would like to make. I would just ask that you not engage in any conversation while you're up there because we're going to let Mr. Davidson continue to make his presentation. All right, sir, if you would.
Thank you.
Thank you.
According to the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, the area for the proposed botanic garden is identified as an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. And this is in the update, it talks about that this is an area that can accommodate development, provided special environmental concerns are addressed. And throughout my presentation this evening, I will refer to the section of the booklet that is labeled ESDDOZ and address the environmental nature of the property, the eco-benefit of the project, and the permitting that will be involved for this project. The site is in a level 2. And it has a designation of out-of-play area according to the 2010 strategies for state policies and spending. Level 2 areas can be characterized as rapidly growing areas in the county that have or will have public water, wastewater services, and utilities, and an area that is generally adjacent to smaller towns. And in just a little bit, I will talk a little bit about the water and the wastewater, and as I previously stated, that this property is approximately 1 mile east of the town of Dagsboro. According to the State Planning Office, the out-of-play category can be lifted off of this property upon the acceptance and approval of the project with Sussex County and the Sussex County Land Trust. Inside the booklet, under the project section, there is a memorandum of understanding between the Sussex County Land Trust and the Southern Delaware Botanical Gardens. And we are here tonight being the first step in seeking approval from Sussex County for this project. Also, we will be presenting our project before the State Planning Office through the PLOS on July 24th. The memorandum of understanding was executed between the Sussex County Land Trust and the Southern Delaware Botanical Gardens back on November 12th and is enforced until the end of September of this year, at which time a formal lease will be granted. And again, for the record, we submitted the memorandum of understanding that was between both the Sussex County Land Trust and the Botanic Gardens. And the purpose of the MOU was to identify the roles and responsibilities of each party as they related to the establishment of a 99-year renewable lease for this piece of property. The establishment was for an educational public botanic gardens for the benefit and enjoyment of all. Just a little bit of a background, and I'm sure you're aware, but for the record, the Sussex County Land Trust is a nonprofit conservation organization dedicated to protecting natural, cultural, agricultural, and recreational resources through land preservation, stewardship, and education. The Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens values include support for inspirational gardens, environmental stewardship, financial responsibility, community focus, education, and research. At this time, I would like Mr. Zajic to come up here and introduce himself. And he's going to review to you the layout as we have presented and shown on the conditional use site plan.
Mr. Chairman, Board, my name is Michael Zajic. My wife and I live on Red Mill Pond, 31401 Malloy Court, outside Lewis. Thank you for letting us speak to you today. This is dear to my heart and to the people involved. We spent this is 2 years of work to get to this point, a lot of our own personal resources and time and funds. So we're very much committed to it. Delaware does not have its own botanic garden, its own flagship botanic garden. That means, when I say flagship, I mean it has everything and it's aimed at the public. It has a conservatory, it has public classes, children's education. This one will have a children's garden. There's lots of features for everybody's use in it. We have some particular focus in this new garden. It'll be the cutting edge for gardens throughout the country, I think, in terms of accessibility. If you look up here from Piney Neck, you come in the entrance, the drive around has some overflow parking, and then enters a curved kidney-shaped parking lot. That'll be cutting edge. It will be a garden parking lot. The curve has interruptions every 10 spaces with trees and shrubs, so that at no point can you see more than about 7 or 8 cars, maybe 10 if you're lucky, because of the curve. There's no long shot. It'll be beautiful. Around this, the various essential gardens and buildings, like the visitor center, conservatory, a children's garden, historic gardens, possibly an amphitheater someday, and a nature center, are grouped right around the parking lot so that people don't have to walk so very far to get to anything. And there's a covered walkway with a living roof all the way around to shelter people from the sun and from rain. You may be familiar with other big gardens, the older ones. You go in and it's a long way to anything, and that's fine if you're like 20-something, but if you're not, you're done after you've been to one item. So we're thinking of everybody in that, and there will be trams. The trams will take people who need accessibility through the whole gardens on the many pathways all the way around and through it. We have put a large pond and a new arboretum on this open farmland area here and a large meadow, and the pond has a canal that's about a half mile long. And we'll have electric flat-bottom boats that will go around in about 35-minute tour with an ecologist on board and somebody driving the boat, a captain, so that people can enjoy the gardens and the beauty of seeing them from the water. There'll be big waterfalls that refresh the water on the way. They'll add to the beauty. There'll be bridges that'll be beautiful that you go under. People can go over them, of course, too. On the other end here, we have on Pepper Creek, which if you're not familiar with it, is very beautiful. There's no commercial development anywhere in this area of Pepper Creek. So this is perfectly compatible with that and makes it a particularly beautiful view. We'll have a cafe down here, and we have we hope to have, with Denrec's help and permission, floating docks and flat boats again, flat bottom boats for eco tours of the estuary. We want to educate people about the wetlands themselves, which, by the way, are all Phragmites, invasive species, which much of the forest is. One of our first items of business will be to get rid of all the invasive species, and we want to restore to the highest standards. We're working with the Center for Inland Bays. We have a meeting with them, I think, in a week, with the whole board to set up a program for restoring these and working together with them. At any rate, we want to make a showcase for Delaware's beautiful waterfront heritage and educate people about it, especially children. We have 6 classrooms. We'll have professional teachers, horticultural educationists to run those programs. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Up here at the top, you see our service area. When we first open up business, we'll probably have some temporary structures. We'll have to until we get some buildings up while we start planting things. And we have a propagation greenhouse down here. There are 2 environments that I don't know of being preserved anywhere in horticulture, in big, at least big gardens. Maybe I'm mistaken, but we have 3 vernal pools down here. That's where all the amphibians are born and live, frogs, salamanders, stuff. And they're vanishing rapidly, or else they're polluted by farm chemicals and things that flow into them. There are no living habitats anymore. They're dead. These are going to be living ones to show people what they can be and preserve them. We're also going to have one of the few bog gardens of any horticultural institution. I know Mount Cuba has one. It's about 10 feet in diameter. This is going to be about 1/2 acre to 1 acre. It'll have boardwalks through it with very exotic, beautiful plants that live off of insects, pitcher plants and Venus fly traps and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's the most endangered habitat in America and in Delaware particularly. They're almost extinct. So we're hoping to revive a very, very good one here. We think this is something that people are going to enjoy immensely if they're just coming to see something of beauty and get escape the winter. They can go to the conservatory and enter the jungle gardens or the desert gardens and enjoy those, or to come for classes and learn about gardening. Oh, I didn't tell you, we have, besides the historic gardens and a sand garden, because a lot of sand here, people need to know what plants they can use in sand, and we can help them with that. We're going to help farmers, small farmers particularly, and homeowners with a modern teaching vegetable garden. It'll be the cutting edge where people can learn the best of everything about vegetable gardening these days. Any questions, sirs? Thank you.
I would like to, just for a minute, follow up with Mr. Zajic was saying. Inside the booklet under the project, there's a slide presentation that they have been using that they've been presenting before various committees throughout the state of Delaware, including the state of Delaware. Inside this slideshow, there's several bubble plans that kind of outline the phasing, and this, I can tell you that this project will be phased in over the course of, I would say, somewhere between 5 to 8 years. It might get phased in, hopefully being up and going after maybe 6 to 8 years, something like that. And again, it all depends on funding, and as the money comes in, they'll be able to build. But as Mr. Zajic said in the beginning, up here, up front here, this could be utilized. And one of the aspects that we're taking a look at as far as phasing is concerned is possibly digging the canal and providing 7-foot-high landscape berms down both sides of the boundary line. On top of those berms will be a deer fence. Of course, having to have a deer fence when you're planting the number of flowers and the trees, and I'll go over all that in just a few minutes. We need to protect that from the deer from coming in here. And as we all know, and we've all lived here in Sussex County for a while, we know that deer can pretty much annihilate a garden or a flower bed if they have the opportunity to do so. Continuing on with what on the site layout, I'm going to direct my presentation to the environmentally sensitive development overlay zone section of the booklet. Under section 115-194.3, section B, there were I attempted to answer some questions that address the environmental concerns of this project on this particular piece of property. And it's starting out with the drainage and the effect on stormwater quality and quantity, the reducing the amount of phosphorus and nitrogen and stormwater runoff. As we stated earlier, we are on Pepper Creek being a tidal water body. Under the state of Delaware stormwater regulations, we will be able to ask for a stormwater quantity waiver, so which means at that point we will need to address quality for this site while safely conveying the quantity of the amount of stormwater that this site will generate. The quality of this site, and I did under the stormwater section of the booklet, I submitted some information about the green technology and some BMPs that the state has approved that you can use, and we're talking about biofiltration facilities, the typical rain garden. I mean, this is a perfect project to be able to utilize some of the practices that are within the green technology booklet of the state of Delaware. So we will be treating the stormwater prior to discharging anything into Peppers Creek, and our goal here is not to discharge that much. I mean, the goal would be to recharge all this back into the ground. We're going to be planting a lot. I mean, this is a garden, so it would be to our benefit to try to keep as much of the runoff on site as we possibly can. Of course, making sure that it is it all gets cleaned up before it enters the water table or gets recharged back into the ground. Phosphorus and nitrogen removal, because we are on Peppers Creek, we will have to address the TMDLs for this area, and what better way to take care of phosphorus and nitrogen through plant uptake and tree uptake, and there's going to be plenty of it here on site. The method of providing potable water and irrigation water, we are not in the certificate of public convenience and necessity area for tidewater, but I have submitted under the water section where tidewater has a water treatment plant about 2,800 feet to the east of this property. In this direction, there's a map showing their facility and in relationship to our property. We have talked with tidewater. I did submit in a later part of this section an email from Kirsten Higgins of tidewater saying that they would be glad to enter in a for the CPCN for the site. We will be asking Tidewater to provide water for domestic drinking water and for fire protection only. We will be seeking permits from Denerec to install agricultural irrigation wells to be able to maintain the water levels within the pond and the canal that we show here on the plan, as well as to water the many different gardens and plants that will be on this site. The wastewater treatment and disposal, we are located in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District, and I think as Mr. Lang stated that although sanitary sewer is not right in front of our property, I believe the marina at Peppers Creek is building a pump station. This area was designated for a gravity sewer line along Piney Neck Road, and we will make provisions to be able to get our sewer and waste to that pump station. Increased traffic and the effect on the surrounding roadway system. We met with DLDOT, and as part of the conditional use application, no TIS was required. We also met with DLDOT to talk to them about the traffic, and I stayed in here, and there's a couple letters in here, and what we found was there's really no land use category for this type of facility. So what we did was the board of directors submitted to us traffic counts for four different gardens throughout the United States. Those are listed here in the report. What we came up with is based on the population of Sussex County, doing some extrapolation. We figured that an annual attendance of about 84,000 people a year to this site, which would, and then we factored in two people per car, taking that down. We're looking at approximately 350 days of business, taking out for, say, some snow days and think they are going to be closed maybe one or two days a year, Christmas being one of them. We got down to about approximately 240 trip ends, which equates to about 120 vehicles a day. So that's on an average. Hopefully, most days, some days, we all know that in the county here during the summer, 3 or 4 months, population explodes a little bit, and there could be more traffic. The presence of endangered and threatened species, the findings from experienced members on the Delaware Botanic Gardens, and through, we will be doing further studies within the forest and the project, revealed that there was nothing, there were no endangered species. We also did some research on the Denerec database and found that there was nothing on site. The preservation and protection of wetlands. We are on Peppers Creek. We do have tidal and non-tidal wetlands on the site. We are going to seek, with the Denerec and the Corps of Engineers, we will do a wetland delineation that will be submitted to both Denerec and the Army Corps of Engineers. And as Mrs. Zajic said, we are proposing to put some paths down through the site. We do note that we do show through some aerial photography, some maps that we were able to come up with, there are wetlands along Peppers Creek, so permitting will be needed, and we will seek and get all the permits prior to construction. The provisions for the open space, and we submitted, I submitted as a part of our booklet here, a biodiversity report that was generated by the Mr. Zajic and the in the board, and it talks about the Delaware Botanic Gardens will add new plants to the current farmland site, about 2,000 trees, 8,000 shrubs, 150,000 perennial plants, 600,000 bulbs, and about 100,000 native plants. All in all, that the Botanic Gardens will stunningly fulfill its mission to increase habitat and species diversity. All these plants attracting, Mr. Zajic talked about the vernal pools. There are low depressions on the upland portion of the woods that are in there. They're not quite in the wetland area. So recreating some of these, in the past you've heard isolated wetland areas, but these will become vernal pools where they'll be able to create more habitat and more plant life. Again, a description of provisions for public and private infrastructure. DLDOT, we will be doing, with DLDOT, we will be, right now, we will be required to improve the site frontage with wider travel lanes, paved shoulders, turn lanes, of course, in and out of the site. And there's also, we've been in preliminary discussions with DLDOT about possible road upgrades between this site and the town of Dashboro, possibly through maybe just a overlay of the road in order to bring it up to a little bit better standard than what's already out there. Water, we will be seeking through Tidewater and Denerec for both for the drinking water, the fire water, and then with Denerec for the agricultural wells, and then sanitary sewer is Sussex County. The economic, recreational, and other benefits for this site, the gardens will be self-supporting, and once helped by government and other donors to become established in the first several years. They're seeking grant money. They're going to be doing some fundraising. They're also seeking help from private entities to help provide funding for this site. Based on the Delaware Office of Tourism and public published statistics and figures, the Delaware Botanic Gardens is expected to generate approximately 394 new jobs, 110 full in the region, 110 full and part-time jobs in the gardens itself, with an estimated salary of $30,000 to $80,000 plus benefits. It is also estimated to bring in about $33 million to the local economy in the surrounding area. There is, at the end of my report here, there is a small report from the Botanic Gardens on the types of jobs that they can foresee generating with this facility and the economic impact that this facility will have. through our search of the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, we didn't find anything on the site for any type of historical cultural resource for this piece of property, other than it's part of the Sussex County Land Trust, and it has open space. To kind of wrap up here a little bit, what I'd like to do is I did submit some proposed findings of facts and some conditions of approval. I won't read them verbatim in the interest of time, but I will just kind of outline a little bit of the findings of the facts. Again, we are seeking a conditional use of land in the AR1 residential with a environmentally sensitive developed overlay in the overlay zone for a public botanic gardens. With the related uses. And some of the uses, again, are the visitor center, the conservatory, a nature center, an amphitheater, garden cafe, gardens, garden houses, maintenance buildings, sheds, and, of course, the parking lot. And then we are also proposing this canal around the up near the front of the site. The subject property is 36.99 acres. It is 1 mile east of the town of Dagsboro in the Dagsboro 100. The property, again, is owned by the Sussex County Land Trust and is known as the Cannon Tract, and it will be leased to the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens. There is an executed MOU, as I stated, and that is in the booklet, and the site is presently used as open space. The site is located in a level 2 out of play area according to the 2010 strategies for state policies and spending. And I kind of went over what we're doing about getting that out of the out of play area and what has to be taken care of to do that. The proposed development will be served by central domestic and fire water, by tidewater, and it is in the sanitary Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. Again, Piney Neck Road is a local road. No TIS was required by DLDOT. The intended use of a property will be of a public character and will promote the goals of the Sussex County Land Trust by protecting the natural, cultural, agricultural, and recreational resources through inspirational, educational, and sustainable public gardens for the benefit and enjoyment of the public. And the proposed application meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And I did submit a list of approximately 10 conditions. The public hours of operation will be Monday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to dusk, and until 11 p.m. during special times of the times and events of the year. The site will be surrounded by a landscape berm and heavy vegetation to provide screening from adjacent properties. All lighting provided for security and ornamental shall be of an illumination that will be shielded from encroaching onto adjacent properties. Signage shall be permitted as if project were located in a B1 neighborhood business district. All entrances, intersection, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT and within the time periods required. All parking for the intended uses shall be contained on site. A screening and general landscaping and lighting plan will be provided as part of the final site plan approval. Stormwater management and erosion sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable and state and county requirements, and shall be operated utilizing best management practices to provide positive groundwater recharge. All impacts to tidal and non-tidal wetlands and to Pepper Creek will be permitted through Deneric and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers prior to construction, and the preliminary and final site plan of the conditional use shall be subject to review by Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And that concludes our presentation of our application for conditional use. And I would like to state further for the record and on behalf of the project and the many volunteers out here that have been working very hard to bring this project to fruition, that they recognize that Delaware is rich in its natural resources with its animals, plants, and habitats, and can be best enjoyed, studied, and preserved in an educational public botanic garden which is being designed for that purpose. And with that, we ask that you look in favor of our application as presented, along with all the documents submitted for the record. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Davidson, thank you for a nice exhibit book, and I think I have an understanding, but I do have some questions for you. Our director indicated that you've got several, I believe he said 16 emails that were in your favor, or favorably supporting the project, and you indicated you have some additional signatures.
That's correct. They're in the section of the book that is currently called Signature of Approvals, but I ask that be corrected to Signature of Supporters. And then I submitted, I believe, 51 additional signatures.
Did you,
53.
Did you or Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens, Inc. have any meetings with the neighbors or with a surrounding community?
Yes, we went before the town of Dagsboro first and presented this project before the mayor and council. And then I would say maybe a month later we were able to use the Dagsboro Fire Hall, and letters were sent out to all the area neighbors, and I believe the town of Dagsboro as well. And we held a presentation before all of them, including all the neighbors adjacent to this piece of property.
Thank you. This particular page at the bottom, it says, garden operations shall be self-sustaining by income-generating activities. Will there be sales activity on this site?
Yes, sir. There will be gift shop.
Is that a part of the cafe?
No. The gift shop will be in the visitor center.
Okay.
The cafe will bring in some income. There's gate receipts. People have to pay to come in. We plan to do just what the state does and sell year-long memberships. That way locals can spend a very small amount and come unlimited numbers of times.
Thank you. And you indicated 83,495 people visits per year. Do you have an opinion as to what effect those visits will have on the local economy? Did you say 33 million?
About 33. What we've estimated and pulled and taken from various data from the Delaware Economic Group, about $33 million is what we're estimating that this project will have on the local economy.
Annually.
Yes. Thank you. What is the type of signage that you desire? Would like it as if it were in a B1 neighborhood business district. How would that differ from what typically is granted?
Under a conditional use, and Mr. Lincoln, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to try to do this from memory. Under a conditional use, you're only allowed 32 square feet of a sign.
Each face,
but under a B1, I believe it's 200 square feet total, with possibly 100 square feet for additional uses within the site.
150
on buildings. So, being with this being the garden, you know, being a botanical gardens, we felt like having more of a signage out front, other than just a typical 4x8 sheet of plywood size, 32 square feet, mm-hmm. would be
understood. Just have a couple other questions. I noticed on the site plan, you indicate you would like to have a boat ramp. I didn't see a dedicated parking spot for boat ramp. Will it not be used of the nature of people pulling in and out with trailer boats?
No, I don't. It will not be. I don't believe it'll be a. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a public boat ramp. It'll be used for the Botanic Gardens purposes of being able to put boats in and out for some of the tours that they want to do of the area.
All right.
Sure. The boat ramp is to put the boats in the spring for the tours and take them out in the fall. Part of the equipment shed has one bay that will store the boats under cover inside, so So we're going to do one launch and one removal each year unless we need to do some refurbishing for any reason. Yeah.
So no need for a parking space.
No.
And you mentioned, I believe, in the MOU says that there will be temporary buildings and structures as funding permits, as this project, if it's approved, goes forward. Do those temporary buildings, given your experience, do they have to go to the Board of Adjustment?
That's correct, for a special use. If we're going to use, say, construction trailers or some type of trailer, possibly even a temporary building of some sort, if we have it brought in, again, in the beginning, in order for them to kind of generate fundraising, after we get all the permits, of course, they may need to be able to park temporary trailers or do a temporary building of some sorts in this area here, and to maybe for a temporary for the visitor center, small gift shop maybe, so because they're going to want to plant flowers right away, plant all their plantings right away and get those started. So, but yes, we would have to go through the Board of Adjustment.
The ordinance provides that if you use a use of a mobile home type structure for any kind of business, classrooms, et cetera, ask it to the Board.
Yeah, just wanted to clear that up. But any of the say greenhouses, things like that, they're permitted under the AR1. So, correct. It'd just be, and if your funding takes off, then you may not need these temporary structures.
That's correct. Yes, it's all of a factor of the funding and the.
So if you get a generous donor, and I might see one there in the back of the room tonight, that you go forward and have this up to speed sooner than later. Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Thank you, Mr. Savage. Mr. Ross.
Are there, you plan on having any rental cabins or campsites on the?
No.
The equipment repair shop, that's any RVs got, but I didn't want to quite go there. The equipment repair shop, I guess there'll be a place for used oil and that kind of stuff, concrete floor.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
The piers, I know you mentioned the boat ramp is a private boat ramp for the use of the gardens only. The piers, will there be people allowed to tie up to visit the gardens from the Pepper Creek, or are they going to be private as well?
You mean, will we have boats come in?
Yes.
No, not at all. No visitation whatsoever. It's just for the boats, for the tours, and that is it. They'll be fenced off. I mean, after hours, I don't think we could exactly keep somebody from stopping there, but they can't. Won't be able to get on the property.
No. Just asking a question, because under CU, we have to be very specific as we do our conditions, and we need to understand the square footage. I don't know, Lawrence or Vince, one of you guys, it looks like there's a lot of square footage here, and I did not research the ordinance. Sorry about lack of preparation, but at some point we kick off a big box.
Well, yeah, I was looking at that too. That's only actually in the condition, or the commercial or CR1, where the big box is triggered under that zoning district, and it doesn't look like in a conditional use because it's all site plan specific. There's no.
But we have to look into the site for the certain uses and probably take the max, what we feel is the maximum use of the property, and establish some kind of parking criteria. Yeah.
So it's not an automatic trigger of that big box for the bumped up parking and other things.
So if someone came in and wanted to put in a Lowe's in conditional use, they wouldn't have to do big box?
Well, I don't know that you.
Square footage. Yeah. With 75,000 square feet. So
and the problem is with that, you'd be. I don't think you would actually do it because you'd be applying for a Lowe's store as a conditional use. The commission would condition it. But
so, Lawrence, if I hear what you're saying is you would do the square feet, then you'd establish the parking,
but
and that would be.
The parking for the uses that are on site.
But I mean, if I had these numbers up, it's a lot.
It adds up, but some of those things are square footage for areas, not buildings.
Right.
For areas. Lincoln Center's got a large area around it, and then other places have large areas.
Well, there's 61,500.
Like, come up with a parking criteria for that project.
There's 61,000 feet just in the visitor center.
That's an area, it's not a building.
It says a square foot visitor center. I don't know if that means, you know.
That's the size of the visitor center, yes.
Yeah.
It's not the way it's drawn.
And the amphitheater is a 28,000 square foot amphitheater, and.
The 61,000, the shape of the.
Yeah, right.
That's the shape of the building.
Okay, all right.
So that's what I was doing. I was just looking at and starting to add up numbers, and I'm thinking, you know, as you calculate these numbers up, your parking requirements are going to go through the roof.
I think Mr. Lank had stated that under the code, there is no parking rationale for this type of use. So what we're hoping to do is take some historical data that we've been able to provide and.
Well, you've supplied some tonight. For example, you mentioned 100 employees or some number of employees, whatever it was, it's on the record. And so Mr. Lank is going to take that number of employees, and those are going to be parking spots. You see what I'm getting at?
Right.
I understand. You understand, Mark. I mean,
right.
This is your business.
That's right.
And so, I mean, I'm not trying to pick the plan apart. I'm just saying at some point you're going to hit a brick wall between square footage of buildings and number of employees and all this and still meet our parking requirements under code. Has nothing to do with this commission. It's in black and white.
I can say that, you know, when we look at it, this is not your traditional big box type uses. When you're talking about a visitor center or a conservatory, you're talking about large gardens that are going to eat up a lot of square footage, especially when you do an indoor rainforest. Inside the nature center, we are proposing a palm court. So you're talking about a lot of this building square footage is going to be taken up by large indoor gardens. And it's not actual, although it's square footage, of course, but it's not square footage that will be used by people walking. They'll just be able to view those types. I can tell you the site plan does, we do show 340 parking spaces.
Right.
On the sites right now.
Well, considering 80,000 visitors and 100 some employees, just off, you know, my gut reaction is that's going to be low. But we'll worry about that when the site plan comes in.
One thing you can do, and since it's a subject of site plan review anyway, is look at the areas that are set aside for patrons' use when you get into the buildings. It's sort of similar to a restaurant type activity, except it wouldn't be at one per 50 square feet.
Right.
It would be something.
Yeah.
There's a method that we can figure a way to come up with a calculation that fits.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Davidson gets the big bucks, figure that stuff out.
Well, it's just one of those flags that, you know, you look at and it just kind of hits you in the nose that you're going to have to pay attention to this as you work through the number of patrons you're projecting and the number of employees you're projecting and then try to calculate that in with the square feet, because we're going to have to justify how we do this.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The land trust, can you give the specifics of the lease? I mean, is that public information or whatever? Is it a dollar a year lease for, I saw it was 99 years or something.
Ms. Baker, yes. Wendy's here. We haven't settled on one yet. It's being worked on now between Mr. Farquhar of the, representing the land trust, I think, and for us it's Heidi Gilmore. And they're working on a lease right now. It'll be a token, maybe a dollar a year. That would suit me fine.
I assumed it would be quite reasonable. And then you've established either a business plan or a budget for the.
The business plan has been nearly completed for some time. We haven't been able to cost the buildings, which is the final part of our business plan and a very big piece of it. We've had experienced business people, including Sue Ryan here, work on the main business plan. But EDIS is going to fashion the pricing for all the parts of the rest of the package. So we have a finished business plan. It'll be a very professional business plan when we get it. I'm going to add something that I was supposed to say. Mark asked me to, and I totally forgot. It's easy to do. My background, you must wonder that part if you didn't know it. I was horticultural supervisor for Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission for Brookside Gardens, which is a botanic garden in Wheaton, Maryland, a public display garden.
and about the same size as this one. Another thing I wanted to add that I didn't mention before was that part of the equipment shed houses the workshop. You mentioned questions about the workshop is partly for fabrication for displays for a winter light show. I've designed two world-class light shows so far, one for Brookside Gardens and one for Lewis Ginter Botanic Garden in Richmond. And this is going to be as good, I hope, or maybe even better. We'll see.
Okay. And then one last financial question, if you'll bear with me. I noticed that in the book you're looking at county, state, and then private fundraising. Do you have any kind of a projection of what share of what that would be of the money you're going to need?
It's premature for me to say, but we have it. We have a plan. We're not grabbing at the sky. We've talked to a lot of people, including all our federal representatives, who, without being specific, I'll tell you, they've all said, as soon as you sign the lease, come see us. We'll help you. We've talked to our state representatives and all our local representatives in Sussex County. They've all said, we'll help you. And the state agencies are, we're about to approach them now. As soon as we get the lease and can approach them, we will. Not the reviewing agencies, but the economic development. We've talked to the Sussex County Economic Development. I addressed them just a few days ago. The chairman's here with me of that committee, Mayor, and they were extremely enthusiastic and eager for this to happen. All the neighbors were likewise eager for it to happen. All the town councils, I've talked to some of the economic development committees like Milton's and the town, and many other, all the garden clubs in eastern Sussex and some into the middle and west and western Sussex, all of them are extremely enthusiastic. There's not been one person, not one person said this is not a good idea. They're happy for it.
Okay, and then I asked Mr. Robertson to, while you were giving your presentation, Mark, to review the time frames, just so the applicant would know what the time frames are in the CU from the time of approval to the time it has to be in use.
Basically, it's 3 years from the time of approval to get the project substantially underway. So, you know, and that's spelled out in the code what substantially underway means. But, you know, if it's not substantially underway within 3 years, the approval would be voided. You know, and you'd have to come back through. So I think it's important if this is approved by the county council, if it gets a recommendation for approval from planning and zoning, you do have a 3-year window that you really have to start moving on, or else the whole thing would lapse.
I think it's a neat project. I hope you get your 80,000 customers a year, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fairly understand the project is presented before us, but I do have one question for you, Mr. Davidson. And you made reference to firewater several times. Are you planning alcohol sales on this property?
there may be a form of it, yes. In the
that's in the an old fire cafe. Protection joke. Fire water.
Oh, fire protection. Oh.
Fire protection. Yeah.
Never mind. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burton,
all my questions have been answered. It's a good presentation.
Hey, okay, Mr. Lang.
All my questions have been answered.
Counsel.
I think all my questions have been answered. Though, more of a comment than a question, just because it's come up before. I heard this gentleman talk about light displays. I would just caution, before you embark on that, make sure that it's within the scope of the approval, because we've seen that before where people have had to come back in for additional conditional use approvals for holiday displays and, you know, Halloween things.
There's also been a couple applications in the last year or so that have gone to the Board of Adjustment for promotional activities, temporary.
Right.
Over the 3-day period that I can agree. So there is a method for the board also.
Right. I don't think matters in the picture of what we're doing tonight. It's just more of a cautionary word going forward on some of those things that are outside the scope of the botanical garden.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
All right, sir. I just have a comment, and that is the great task before you is to turn all that enthusiasm into cash. The good news is that's not a consideration for us tonight. Okay. This is a land use question this evening, and that's the one we're going to address. And that having been said, we'll move on and ask if there's anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1965, Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Incorporated.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, come on up, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
My name is Harry Amon. I live at 408 Walnut Court, Dagsboro, Delaware, in Holly Cove Development, which is a half a mile from the botanical gardens.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about it till last week. For some reason, I didn't stay aware of what's going on in the neighborhood.
Well, you made it here tonight somehow.
I'm glad to see somebody is doing something that's beautiful. Bring it on.
Okay.
Because we need it. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Nope, no applause, no applause. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in favor? Is it a safe assumption that most of you sitting on the bride's side over here are here for this? Okay.
You, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I think that is probably signal enough. If there's anyone else would like to speak in favor, please come on down. If not, we'll see if there's anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1965. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.